Well, our sermon text for today comes again from chapter 6 of Mark, but the very end of the chapter. We spent about the last several weeks in Mark 6. This is Mark 6, verses 53 through 56. I invite you to have your pew Bibles open and read along, please, with me as I read this. May you hear the word that God has for you this day. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was and wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside. They placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm not sure I envision Jesus wearing a cloak, but his outer garment, his coat. Cloak. A little background. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people. Oh, and then he walked on water. And now, when the boat lands on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, near Capernaum, not far from Capernaum, in Gennesaret, another 5,000 converge to be healed. Not the same 5,000, another 5,000. That's like the entire population of West Columbia, all in one place at one time. I noted last week that I had recently watched the 1965 film, The Greatest Story Ever Told. The scene in that movie of Jesus being crowded here in Gennesaret resembles the same scene in many Jesus movies. In Jesus Christ Superstar, as all the crippled, unclean people crawl out from under every rock and out of every crevice, pushing and piling, Jesus finally says there are too many of them. From a strictly human perspective, we get it. We may feel the agoraphobia as all those people press in on Jesus. It feels almost suffocating, crushing, overwhelming, terrifying. He'll be trampled. He's one man. He can only do so much. But this is Jesus we're talking about. Unlimited. True, but also limited. Unlimited, yet limited. Voluntarily limited. Jesus can do things no other human being can do. He just walked on water. He fed 5,000 people. It also seems, by virtue of the true full humanity of Jesus, that there are certain things he cannot do. He cannot stay awake indefinitely. He gets tired. He cannot go indefinitely without food or water. He gets hungry. He gets thirsty. Perhaps there are things he does not do, chooses not to do, for reasons known to him alone. He chooses not to snap his fingers and heal everybody of everything. That would be wonderful, truly, but would it accomplish his purpose on earth? What is the purpose of Jesus' mission on earth? To heal every physical illness? To bring material prosperity to everyone? To give everyone an abundance of meat, bread, and drink? Is his purpose to make sure that nothing sad or scary ever happens to anybody, or at least not to anybody who loves him? These seem to be the hopes and desires of the people in those crushing crowds. We also can feel that hope sometimes, maybe even lose sight of the true purpose, the true mission of Jesus because of this other hope, hope for this life, this world, this moment. We come here wanting something. Some of you today may be needing something badly from God. Those crowds want a physical, material transformation of their lives here. Utopia. Oh, well, I don't want utopia. But I do, beloved, we all do. Only as we slog and heft ourselves to maturity, we realize the truth of the wordplay. Utopia is a word from Greek with two meanings, the good place and no place. We long for a better country. Jesus tells and shows us, as we're paying attention, that he is the way to that better country, that kingdom not of this world. Any expectation that this kingdom will be realized in this world is a hope that will be dashed brutally. Read history. Know human nature. Look around. What keeps this impossibility from becoming unbearably bitter in our souls is Jesus. The limitations he accepted for our sake open for us the unlimited grace of God, drawing us through this life, through Jesus Christ, to himself. What do people want from Jesus? Think about that question. There's something wrong with it. What do people want from Jesus? We can answer, of course. Clearly, they want healing, restoration. They don't want to be afflicted anymore. Jesus can take away the pain. He can restore the crippled limb, the blind eyes, the deaf ears. He can even raise the dead to life. All those people crowding, practically crushing Jesus, Mark tells us they recognized him. They heard what he could do. They knew what they wanted him to do, what they wanted out of Jesus. They knew very well. But they didn't know him, and most didn't want to. They knew what they wanted from Jesus, what they wanted him to do for them. Asking what people want from Jesus misses the point of Jesus. When people want what Jesus can do for them, they don't really want Jesus. They want something else. Consider those whom Mark tells us wanted Jesus. Martha's and Lazarus' sister Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus just to listen and be with him. The apostles, off and on, very imperfectly. Mary Magdalene, following along, asking for nothing, only grateful for Jesus. He healed her. Yes, cast out 7 demons. You can take that literally or figuratively as a biblical way of saying she was as messed up could be, perfectly messed up. Then Jesus found her. She wasn't looking for him. She wasn't the one who wanted him in her life until she did, until he spoke and she suddenly heard him, until he spoke and she suddenly saw him, until he spoke and she too became able to speak. The word came to her. She hadn't known him, didn't know how to know him, didn't know how to love him because she'd been dead inside, but then he found her and spoke and raised her to life. What did Mary Magdalene or any of those others want from Jesus? Nothing. What they wanted was Jesus, more Jesus, always Jesus, only Jesus. I think we could call that love. Deep, pure, true love. We find many substitutes for love, but there's no substitute for Jesus. Wherever Jesus goes, there they are, the wretched of the earth. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. Strange, isn't it, how we can lose sight of Jesus as we focus on the poor and the wretched, as our hearts fill with aching concern to fill them, supplying their lack, as though we could, just by making some material rearrangements of resources. Utopia. The wretched of the earth are sort of out of sight here in our area. Although if you drive around town, in parts of town you don't ordinarily drive because that's not where you drive, you'll see the local version. I don't mention outside of town long obscure roads. I didn't know there was a road there. What's down that road? You don't want to know what's down that road. You can find them all over Houston or any city of a certain size. If you travel to poor nations, as some of you have, oh, you'll see them and it will turn your stomach and break your heart all at once. That people should live this way, that they have to. And we say they don't have to. We want to do something about it. We want to do some Jesus, you know, give them food, clothing, medical care, water wells, build schools, hospitals, latrines, and then move on, just like Jesus. People are begging for Jesus, well, begging for him to touch them, or even just to let them touch him, like a charm or talisman, some statue being carried through the streets, the crowded streets, on some flower-laden platform, on the shoulders of strong young men. Just to touch was to be healed. Just let me touch you, Jesus. I'll be good to go then. Stop, though, and allow Jesus to touch you, won't you? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. He's come to see you. Mark tells us in his usual simple and direct way that as Jesus walked along, all who touched, even the hem of his garment, were healed. Power. Just the hem of his garment, like one thread. Wonderful, holy, miraculous. And then what? After. The version we like goes something like this. A woman reached out as Jesus was passing by. She knew this was her chance, and she was suddenly brave and bold enough to take it. In her desperation, she reached out to Jesus. She was healed. She could feel his power in her, and she cried out in joy and praised God and decided in that moment to leave everything she had known before and follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We like that version, and I don't say it never happened. If you can imagine, I've been called cynical. A theology professor in seminary called me that. I've never thought of myself as cynical, though. I regard myself as a Calvinist. Presbyterians used to be. Of all the philosophies, theologies, ways of understanding this life and why things happen and why things don't happen, I found Calvinism to be the most candid, unvarnished. Calvin, by the grace of God, shows us the human heart in the light of God. It's not quite as pretty as we'd want it to be, but we also have the gospel, and that makes everything beautiful. Another woman, desperate, hurting, in great need, also reached out as Jesus passed among the crushing crowd. She was nearly crushed herself. She barely lived to tell the tale. It was so traumatic for her. She was weeping and moaning, afraid. Her hurt was so deep and so real. Everyone could see, could just tell by looking at her, by listening to her. And all she wanted, as she'd tell anybody, was just for the pain to go away. She too touched the hem of his garment, grabbed and tore a little bit away. Had a little piece of it in her hand, or she brought her hand back. Jesus felt the power go out from him. He didn't mention it every time it happened. The woman was healed. Jesus knew it, even if he didn't stop, or maybe he did. She could hardly believe it. It didn't seem real. She was so happy, she didn't know what to do about it. She hurried and told all her friends that she was cured. They were doubtful, but happy for her. They would ask her how, but she was already hurrying on to tell other people down the street. When she finally got home, she made a special meal for herself. All the things she liked best, she ate and ate. She was starving. She decided to drink a little wine. Why not? It was a day to celebrate, the day she was healed. She decided to pamper herself and take a long, hot bath. She deserved it after the day she had had. Then after her long, hot soak with a little additional wine, because why not, she went to bed and slept very well. Terrific. Better than she had in days. She was so glad she had got what she wanted. She was very happy with herself. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not sure we like that version as well, but I don't say it never happened. And the Jesus Christ, who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests of his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever.